Hey, what's up, everybody? In part one of the last two episodes of 2019, I just wanted to say that this was really incredible and amazing for Scott and I to be interviewed by Nicole. If you've seen our documentary on us having children and the struggle it was to actually make it happen in the five-year struggle, you are about to hear us be interviewed by a woman who tried for 2 years. We still call her our sister. However, her and my brother are no longer together. So that part is sad in a way, but we have stayed ultra close to her, and she came to visit us for Christmas. She was actually Scott's surprise Christmas gift, and it's just really cool. So these next two episodes are guided by her, essentially. And so the first episode is just questions she had about us becoming parents. And then in the second episode, you're going to hear a little more insight of her being our surrogate and the kind of the really painful toll it took for her not being able to deliver our children and how it affected our relationship. So it's so interesting, and I hope you guys can sit back, relax, and enjoy the vulnerability. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. You make believe inside. Trust and believe.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, guys, so now that the boys are here...
For a long time.
Yeah, for 2 years. Do you feel like the love you have for them is what you expected, or is it different or more, or just, you know, is it less?
I was, Sean and I looked at each other. He's eating his baked pears from Christmas last night, and they're steaming hot.
And
he's
hot.
In heaven. and he has a mouthful. I can say that I didn't know what I was going to feel. I didn't know what the level of love would be. You hear people talking about it, but talking about it and hearing about it is one thing, experiencing it is something else. So I had zero expectation going in. And now that I'm in it, I think, oddly, that I have more love than I thought I would have, even though I didn't have expectations for it. So it may sound silly, but there are moments, like I say to Sean, when we go in and check on the boys before, or when they're sleeping and we go to lock their door, I look at them and I think, oh my God, I just want to cuddle with them. I want to hug them and squeeze them and just give them kisses and hop into bed with them because I just love them so much. And then you get into bed with them, not to say that we've ever done that, but we did it 2 nights ago. What? Because Sander was sick and it was the worst night of sleep we've ever had. So note to self, we're not doing that again.
It was worse than when they were infants. My level of love it's just different. Like, everyone, I hear people say, you know, I love my kids more than anything, and like, my kids come before my husband or whatever, and I find that to be really I don't know if it's because I didn't birth them. I don't know why, but I find that to be a little odd because I think it's a different kind of love than I would have for Scott. It's so completely different. And I also, maybe because of our journey to have kids, you know, we went through this like very tough time that I feel like the love that we have for each other enhances the love for the kid. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just, it's completely different and hard to explain.
Picture it. We're in the kitchen.
The boys are running around.
We're enjoying the post-holiday food.
And I was interrupted by an iPad.
And our sitter is helping watch the kids, and she's amazing, and she's sweeping, and we're chatting, and we're chatting around the kitchen table.
But I did want to say, like, there's so many different types of love. There's, like, the love you have for your spouse or, like, some your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. And then there's a love for a kid that just doesn't compare to anything in the world because it's your... I don't even want to say it's your responsibility. It's just like your... I find it really tough to explain.
How would you answer that question?
I don't know.
Do I feel... I don't know. I mean, it's different than I had for my spouse. But... it's kind of like that protective love. Like, you... it's different. It's like, it's nothing like you've ever felt before, no matter what situation you're in.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, like, spouse or not, kids are different. It's just, you die for them. You would do anything for them. Like, you come near my kid and it's a problem. Yeah, it's...
she says with a Puerto Rican head tilt.
But yeah, it's a different love. It's nothing like I've ever felt before, and it's more than I could have ever imagined.
And why did you ask the question?
Because I was just watching you guys with the kids and wanted to see how you felt. Because, you know, I've been on this journey with you guys for a long time.
Well, you... yeah, I mean... you have been a mom for 9 years. And I think a lot of people hate when other parents tell them how they parent or they judge their parenting. But I would love from you just seeing us... social media being here. Like, what is your idea of how we parent?
No, that was going to be my next question. Like, you guys are very calm. I freak out over everything. I'm like a female, and I just, like, if they hit themselves, I'm like freaking out, don't know what to do. And I like react differently. So yesterday, Silas hit himself on the head.
Yeah.
Like on the counter, and you guys were just like, oh, hey, buddy. You okay? Meanwhile, I would have been screaming.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see you guys because I mean, I don't know what I expected out of you guys, but you guys are very, very calm and patient, I would say. So what makes you guys like that? Is it just...
I think it's the only reason why I potentially may is I think I have a... my patience is long, but with kids, I think... unless I see a bone sticking out or like gushing blood, it's I'm like, it'll be okay, like we'll figure it out. And I've seen him hit his head there before.
Okay.
And also I've seen Sander fall off the stairs and scrape his head, you know. Okay. So I guess it all depends on what it is. But
why am I so calm? Well, I know we... I don't know. I'm just kind of... I really chalk it up to, like, the fact that I had an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always getting beat up. I was always getting, like... I was always getting, like... you know... I was the last one to walk into a room. I was... you know, I don't know. I was always, like, second. I was always smaller. So I'm like, okay, you bumped your head. Like, what do you want me to do about it? Yeah, I'll go over to you and... I mean, we always pick them up if they cry, but before I pick them up, if it's something bad, run over, like, I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's, like, they trip and they fall or whatever, I'm just kind of like, you okay? Like, it's fine. Like, you know what I mean? I'll be like, you're going to experience worse things than that in life.
Yeah.
And but I still hug them. I hold their hands. But also, I just believe that the more like you react in a crazy way, the worse they will be when it comes to them hitting their head again. If you saw them hit the head the first time, they were like screaming. Now they hit the head and they're like, bump my head.
Did anyone see that? Can I get a comment? Like,
bump my head.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we used to sing five little monkeys jumping on the head. One fell off and bumped his head. You know, we do things. So, I don't know. When they get sick, I think that's like the most stressful when it's something that we haven't experienced anymore. But
it gets to the point where now Sander, when he falls over or hits his head, he's like, I'm okay. He says,
I'm okay. Yeah, he says, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
And we're like, okay, cool. Because we, like us, his babysitters, they're like, you're okay. It was very much like, you're okay. Like, if you're not bleeding, you're fine.
But what I would agree with you when it comes to if they're sick, like Sander has hives, or, you know, Sander has a temperature or Silas has a temperature and it's 102 and it's like, why? Well, that's when we start.
I stress over symptoms that I don't know.
Do you Google them?
Not for the kids. No.
That is fascinating that you don't Google for the kids, but you have a degree, a doctorate in Google.
Well, because
hashtag true story.
Well, because for me, when it's my own, and I don't Google anymore. I think I Google 5% of the time than what I used to. When I used to stress myself out. But
you look at yourself in the mirror with Nicole.
I know. For those of you out there who Google you have a symptom, don't do it. You're dying in like 23 hours every time with Google. But I think that with their symptoms, I don't want to put that stress on them the same way as when they bump themselves. Like, I don't want to put that stress on them. So I'm like, I'm going to watch, I'm going to see, and I'm going to let the doctor handle it. Like, we went to the doctor the other day and he told us exactly what to do. And I'm like, cool.
So what's been the hardest part of being a dad? Not just a dad, but a dad to twins.
For me,
mm-hmm.
I'll start because you look like you're thinking. For me, it's having to work. Because I work and I travel when I work. And I just feel like, I don't feel like I miss out on anything because Sky is really amazing. With FaceTime and the babysitters are amazing with everything. But it's just that, you know, I didn't have a father and I never want, you know, and full disclosure, and I'm going to say this, I remember Scott saying that his dad used to travel all the time and he felt like his dad was never home. And so, you know, I had that stress of like the fact that I didn't know my father. And then he felt, because his dad kind of travels like I do, that his dad was never home. And so I had that like stress of when I have to leave or whatever. But I don't know. But the thing that like helps it out, that's the toughest. It's so hard. Like I'm upset every time. Like I just get so upset. I have anxiety. Yeah, no. That's Silas. He's always talking. But I think what makes it better is that I know that when I'm home, I'm very present. You know, I'm very in it. Like I know what I teach them, they retain, so it helps. But traveling is really hard. But other than that, I'm like, what do you want me to do? I don't think it's hard being a parent. I don't. So far, in the last few years, I don't think it's hard. You know, I think it's challenging, but I don't think it's hard.
So, what would your advice be to like?
Well, I want to let him answer, save that question now.
Initially, when they were first born to like the first 4 months, it was sleep. That was the hardest thing. And then because of lack of sleep, it really affected our mental states. So it then challenged our relationship. And I think for me, because I'm so focused on the task and the goal and whatever the problem is to solve it, that... I think of things to do in my brain, and then because I act on them sometimes, and Sean's looking at me like, why didn't you talk to me about it? And I'm like, like, so it's, wanting to make sure that I include my spouse in the things that we do as parents. And then also realizing that my way may not be the best way, or that there's another great way that he is thought of, and that it's okay to do that. So it's like, I think it's part of being in a relationship, and then I always use this example, and I've used it a couple times when we've been in a fight. In New York City, if you've been in New York City, you can take the subway anywhere, right? You can take the blue line and the red line and get the exact same place at the, at, you know, whatever. It's one time I choose the blue line and one time Sean chooses the red line. So it's like we're going the same way. It's just a different path.
Right.
And so it's about figuring out, and it's about understanding that my way isn't always the best way, and his way is could be, you know, his suggestions could be just as amazing as what I had thought. I just didn't think about them. So it's about understanding that your spouse is wanting the same thing as to solve the problem, and figuring it out and meshing the two, if that makes sense.
I think you're entering this new space with, whether you have one kid or five, you're entering this new space with a new person. And so you have this experience, and then you have to process it. And then your spouse has this experience, and they have to process it. And then if someone doesn't make their feelings or thoughts known when it pertains to having to fix a problem of the kid, then it just becomes horrible. Because... I think that you should be allowed to utilize your spouse for help and be able to share your emotions. And I think what happens in a lot of families in general, not even about kids, like people just don't talk because they don't want confrontation. They don't want to bring up issues because it's easier to bury them down. And I think when you have kids, you have to find a way to stop looking down at the kid and look up to your spouse and be like, yo, we need to how are you feeling about this? And I think a lot of times what helps in the situation that he's talking about, because the first 4 months were rough, if you go into a conversation with your spouse, this is about kids and anything. These are my vulnerabilities. This is what I'm afraid of. This is why I'm afraid to talk to you about this. Soften a person, harder the problem, which we talk about. I think it just would get better. But if you don't do that because you're sleep deprived, or it's new and you don't know how to act. From Jersey, we say you don't know how to act. Then it just becomes a horrible thing.
I think the preface of I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm feeling vulnerable really helps begin the conversation.
Because it allows it allows the spouse to help rather than react.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times if the kid is crying, it's like, well, you should have fed him.
Right.
Like, why were you late? You're like, oh my God, I'm so stressed because I forgot to feed him. Like, I'm so tired. The response is probably going to be, oh, don't worry about it. Like, it's okay. Instead of like, you know, just like you have to be able to express yourself so that it becomes more of a conversation than an argument.
And sorry, just one more thing. One of the most life-changing things that happened since we had kids was 4 months in when Sean looked at me and said, we're having a date night. And because I was so focused on the job and the task at hand and us not getting any sleep, whatever, he had the wherewithal, the awareness to be like, we need to, as he says, stop looking down at the kids and look at each other and spend some time and get away from them. Mm-hmm. And it was life-changing to be able to have a moment. And that's why I know now it's like, okay, we need to go have a date day or a night or call in a babysitter or do something, because it is essential to get your wits about you again.
How often do you think you guys should have, or how do you know you need date night? Is it like...
So the minute you don't realize that you need a date, the day that you don't think you need one is the day that you need one.
I think it's too late.
Yeah.
I think that's too late.
I agree. That's too late.
I think that... You know, there's responsibility and there's possibility, right? There's responsibility of your kids. These are our responsibilities. We have to do this. And then there's the possibility, like, is it possible for us to connect? And if it's possible, you take advantage of that opportunity. I don't think it's once a week. I think 1 week, if you have family visiting, you're like, little bitch. That's to men and women. I'm like, listen. If we didn't have a lot of date nights, which we do, if you came and mom and dad were here and Mackenzie's here, I'd be like, listen, like, I think like 4 days in a row is completely fine, because what if you're not going to have it for the rest of the month? So I don't know if it's necessary. I think it's about is it possible? If it's possible, you take advantage of the possibility. As long as it's not getting in the way of you being a parent, obviously. Yeah. So, but I think it's more than date night, because it's so easy to be like, let's have a date night. So the reason I realized that we needed a date night is because I was traveling, coming home, because I was on tour, and Scott just looked skinny and white and pale. And so
it's true.
I had gotten the flu in the first few months and stuff. So when I was like better and I came out of this tour space, you know, I said, we need to go out. Like, you haven't been out, whatever. But so the flip side of that is I realized that while I may have been on the road, like, I was still working hard too. And I didn't feel like anybody noticed that I was working hard. So I was just like, if I know I'm stressed and no one's realizing it, he's got to be stressed because he's home in the thick of it. So then we went out on our first date night. And so I think what I'm saying is, like, once you recognize it, it's probably too late.
Yeah.
And so I think it just needs to be a part of the daily conversation. Like, is it possible for us to do this? If the kids don't have football and baseball, you know, cool. Like, you know, it's as simple as, like, some people think date night has to be this, like, crazy thing. Mm-hmm. It can literally be sending your kids to the neighbor's house. That's like, cool, I'll watch your kids for 2 hours.
Yeah.
So y'all can, like, have sex. You can just
take a nap.
You can take a nap. It doesn't have to be like this, like, we have to go out and spend a lot of money. Date night is, that's not what date night is. Even, you know, it's like, if you have two kids and they have best friends and you're really good friends with their parents, and it's like, yo, let's do a barter.
Yeah.
Can you watch the kids this weekend or this night and a half? And then next weekend I got y'all's.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to go on a date night, if you just want to clean your house or whatever, you got chores, I'll watch. Because I think that's the other thing, is bringing in friends to be like, yo, y'all probably need this too. People who are your real friends. And it'll help. But so the reason why I don't think that there's a specific, like, they're so quiet, but that you need a date night, like, once a week, is because I think if you're like, not all the time, but I think, like, if you're like, only on Wednesdays we go on date night, it becomes like work. It's like, well, we have to go on date night tonight. But what if,
scheduling,
you know, yeah, and I don't, you know, it could be Monday and Tuesday. It could be like, yo, I'm off work early tonight. The kids are here. What you want to do? You want to eat a smash burger, or you want to go home and, you know, fill in the blank.
Well, you've answered my question, because I was going to ask you, like, how you would get creative if you don't have the means to do date night or, like, no support system.
Man, sometimes I'd be upstairs. The kids go to bed, I'd be upstairs. I'd be sending dirty text messages, like, like, I'm, you know, I'm serious. Like, I'd be sending a little raggedy, you know, scantily clad looking photos to him, because he's downstairs probably, like, you know, either watching TV or finishing the chores, and I'm like, well, I'm in the shower, or I'm in a room that don't even belong, that we don't even go into, you know, I'd be changing the scene. But I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I, you know, it's just about, like, being, acknowledging it. And I think what happens is a lot of people, and we talk about this in our Relationship Vibration course, but I think intimacy, connection, just conversation, I think when stress starts to happen and things starts to pile up and you hold stuff in, which you just start to create this silent wedge,
mm-hmm,
between you and your spouse. And then the more that you don't talk, the more things pile on, and the more things pile on, more things that don't fucking even matter, like you didn't put the toilet seat down, becomes like a big thing. So then you have this big, great big wedge between you, and then people are like, I want a divorce, you know? And it's really because you didn't talk about the first thing.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so if you don't talk about the first thing, now you got like 65 things to talk about, and you have to, like, dissect each one of them to get to the first thing, because usually the first thing, which is the biggest thing, is the hardest to talk about, or it's so deep in there that you forgot it even happened.
Yeah.
Note to self.
Note.
to self. I keep stuff in. Who keeps it? Is it you that keeps stuff in that you find it hard to difficult to talk about?
I'm definitely more. I wouldn't say introspective, but I do a lot of I do a lot of conversations in my head.
Oh, I have them all the time. I just don't say it.
I think that's the thing with him, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I think it's. I think he just has conversations with himself that he should be having with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think he necessarily I don't think he holds stuff in to hold it back.
Yes.
I think he talks about it with himself so long that by the time it gets to me, it's already been...
It's too late. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I think, and that comes from growing... I feel like a cliche when I say this. Growing up gay and not having anyone to talk to and always wondering why people were treating me differently or teasing me or whatever. And so I didn't feel like I didn't have a ride or die. And so the only person who can handle everything was me. And so I'm just the only one that's going to be talking to me. And so so then I'm like, okay, well, it's in my brain. How can we figure this out? And that is to the day. And there's a funny story that we always tell. Sean asked me to go in and get coffee for him one day at a 7-Eleven in California. And it took 30 minutes later. I had come out and I was like, which one did you want? Because I knew so much about him and his love for coffee that I was spinning it in my brain so much because I wanted to bring him the best cup of coffee that he's ever had. Mm-hmm. And he was just asking for a black cup of coffee. So it's an example of what goes on in my brain to try and figure things out when I should have just been like, well, what did you want in your coffee?
And when we come back, we're going to get more into our brains because I'm sure Nicole has more questions.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, what's up? I'm Sean T.
And I'm Scott Blocker.
And we're the Blockers, so we're about to keep it all the way real. You all know me as Sean T, the fitness motivator, but what you really don't know is how I am in a relationship. We've been married for
6 years, together for 8.
And we have 2 kids, and it's really amazing.
Via surrogacy that took us 5 years to have, and it was a super long trip, but we succeeded, and we are now in a place of twin sanity.
We are here to share our struggles with you, but more importantly, how we overcame our struggles.
So here's what you're gonna learn in this series.
You're gonna learn how to make time for each other.
You're gonna learn how to be parents.
You're gonna learn how to work together, whether you are working a business together or just working together in the relationship.
You're gonna learn how to be transparent in communication. You're gonna learn the importance of date night.
You're gonna learn why you should have lots and lots and lots of sex. It's about to go down.
Or up.
Or up. Hey.
You're gonna also understand the meaning of being best friends with your spouse. You'll also learn how important it is to have no secrets in the relationship.
Are you ready to transform your relationship? Because here's the thing. We're not perfect because perfection is temporary and change is constant, but through our struggles, we can definitely help you reach another level of who you are individually and who you are in your relationship. Time to dig deeper.
If you and your spouse would like to take the Relationship Thrivation course, please go to relationshipthrivation.com. And trust and believe listeners get $40 off when you use the code ST. That's relationshipthrivation.com. Use the coupon code STTHRIVE for $40 off. Offer is available until December 31st.
All right, Nicole, we are back. I'm waiting for your next question. I feel like these are getting good.
I actually wanted to go back to when you said you travel a lot, like for work. Mm. What would your advice be to... I know a lot of working moms have that guilt, that I'm not at home and I don't see my kids enough. I'm sure dads do too, but yeah. I know I feel it because I'm working all day. What would your advice be to get out of that headspace and deal with that situation?
The first thing I say... you're a single mom, so this will help you, but also
we should be having cocktails.
I know.
I mean, get it out.
Hey, Mackenzie, do you make cocktails too? Oh, wait, she has twins in her arms. She's like, you, Brayton, just wait. I think the first thing that I say is I'm providing for them. So if that's the first thing. Like when I get on an airplane, I say I'm providing for them, and I'm probably way more stressed about it than they are. You know what I mean? So that's the first thing I say. I'm providing. Like if I didn't do this, then I would be home miserable because I didn't have money, which would then filter out into them, and then they'd be super stressed. So by me not, you know, busting my ass or hustling or whatever it is, or being that hardworking mom or parent, your kids would, you wouldn't have the house that you live in or the apartment, or you wouldn't have that car that you, you know, maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck and you still feel bad. And it's like, no, like this is what, you know, we had kids by choice. Some people don't, but you're taking care of your responsibility. So that makes me feel better. That's like the first thing. And I'm just like, and then the sandwich part of that is when I come home, they're excited to see me. So it's always like I document those moments in my head, which is even when Silas came up and was like, sit on Papa's lap just now and wanted to like I stay there as long as I can, even though my legs were hurting because he's like 40 pounds. But and then Sandra wants to come up too, but I stay there because I'm just like, I know when I get on the plane next Thursday, I'm going to be like, fuck, like I'm going away for 4.5 days or whatever. But I know that when I was home, you know, I was focused in on them and like giving them the attention. And I think that if you're, when you come home, if you are with them, you do their homework and make your connection with your kids beyond the necessities. Make it beyond bath time, homework time necessarily. Like do something with them twice or three times a week that's different. Hey, let's play a game. You know, let's go for a walk. No iPads. Let's just like hang out. And I think that like parents forget that kids are so smart. Like these kids, they're only two. They're so smart. Your kid, Amari, is so smart. I'm sure Layla is too. They store these special moments. Mm-hmm. So I was like four or maybe five and a half. And my grandfather, that's when he started taking me on his hikes, when he would go on a hike on Saturday and I had to find a stick and we would go on a hike. To this very day, that is like the most impactful like feeling where I felt close to him. You know, it wasn't the church, it wasn't that, but it was just like I would go on a hike with him and I was so young. And it was just that quality time that, you know, so I think that's it. Sorry.
Well, one of the things that I think that you're really good at, Bayballs, is before we go on a trip, you, whether we're taking the boys or not, he'll say, you know, Papa and Dad are leaving on a trip tomorrow. We're going to fly to New York and we're going to go and do this event. And he explains to him, you know, this is what we're going to do. And this is why I love it. And this is why, you know, we're doing it and we're helping other people. And then we get to come back and we'll be with you. But the good thing is while we're away, you're with Mackenzie and Dez and you're with Grandma and Grandpa and they love you. And so he has conversations with them. And
like normal conversations.
Treat them like kids. He is giving them information and they look at him and they listen and they may walk off and whatever, but they at least have a subconscious understanding that they're away or we're going away on a flight and this is, you know, what to expect. The other thing I was going to say is I think for me, the reason why there's guilt is because as much as I love when I go on a trip, the pain is the minute I feel the pain is when I'm in the car and I'm like, oh, I just left my boy, you know, our boys. Yeah. But I think the reason why I feel bad is because I actually really love what I do. And I feel like it's because it's a joy of what I'm doing. I feel like I shouldn't be joyful because I'm leaving the kids, right? Or I should have a certain expectation or a pain or a feeling that I'm not having because I love spending time with my husband and we work together and we get to go on trips and do things and inspiring other people. So for me, the struggle is there are times when I can't wait to go on the trip, but the minute I'm on the trip, I'm like, oh, like I want to be with the boys. But it also goes back to another, sorry, cliche, where you are establishing for your kids, you are showing them commitment to something. You're showing them responsibility. You're showing them, you know, that you show up to your job. You work, you make money, you bring stuff home. You're able to have support your family. And then, you know, those are all great characteristics and traits that you're showing kids at an impressionable age. But it's also that when we come home at 5 o'clock or 5:15, you know, we from 5 until 7, we're not on our phones. We try and stay off our phones, and we focus solely on.
I Instagram story them though,
right?
It's about them.
Well, that's different.
But the thing is so okay. We may not be with them from 8 to 5, but from 5 until 7, or to the time they go to bed, we are like focused on them. And that's something I learned from Lauren Mellon from Fila. She was like, you know, I'm struggling because we have kids. And she said, you know, go and do your work because that's what inspires you and allows you to be the person who you are. But when 5 o'clock rolls around, you come home and you spend quality time with your kids because, and no phones. And people should know that. You can establish those boundaries with other people that, hey, this is the time I'm going to be spending with my kids. I'm offline.
I also think that during the day, I have two things. We don't, as adults, we don't utilize like the phone and social media. I would say not necessarily social media, but the phones in a way that we do with adults. Like a lot of times when I go away, like I'll send I'll send a video to Mackenzie or Dez and be like, can you show this to the boys? And I'm like, hey guys, like this is what I'm doing. This is where I'm at. We're going to bed. Like, you know. And it's okay to do that at lunchtime. Like, can you imagine if your kid is home or if even like Amari has school, he has a phone in school, he probably can't take it out in school. But at some point, can he take it out? When he gets his book bag at the end of school?
He gets his phone when he gets home.
Oh, when he gets home.
Yeah.
So imagine if every day he came home, you're like, hey, I know I'm at work, I'll be home, but I hope you had a good day and whatever. It's just like, while to the kid, they might be like, okay.
Mom.
But I'm telling you, when they're dating that girl or that guy in their 20s or their 30s, thinking like, you know what my mom used to do when I got home from school every day? Like, it won't mean that much to them now, but it'll be embedded in their brain for when they're older. And then the other thing I'll say is... Do you want pancakes? Where'd the pancake go? I don't know, buddy. You want to come up here with me? Okay. I got you. The other thing is, like, we get our kids excited about Christmas, right? We get our kids excited about Christmas. They know the holiday is coming up. They're all excited, but we don't do that about, like, when Scott was saying, you know, I'm really good at telling them we're going away. Mm-hmm. You know, I do the same thing that I do about Christmas or their birthday. I'm like, hey, we're going away in a couple days. Like, this is what we're doing. And just like with Silas, you know, he wants to use his phone, my phone, early in the morning when we wake up. And I'm like, you can use your phone after, you know, we read a book. And so now, he says, can we use your phone? I say, after. And he says, after we read a book. Right?
And just to reiterate what he was saying about sending the video, it may not impact them now. I go back to the story that he said, you know, my dad traveled a lot and I was resentful that he was traveling so much. But now that I'm older, I understand why he was doing it. And it was because he was loving us and our family and supportive of that. And just as he was telling that story, I was thinking to myself, one of the things that I love to do every single day is wave to him as he was driving away. And he would wave to me. And it was like, okay, Dad's going, but I get to at least, you know, wave goodbye. And that, I remember that. And so... the little things, like Sean said, may make a world of impression. And I appreciate the fact that my dad now was doing something that he loved and changing people's lives. And now I get to do the same thing. So because he did what he did, it was instilled in me. So subconsciously, you may still feel the guilt, but if you're doing things that you love, it'll inspire your kids.
So what's been the one moment, I don't know if you have one moment, but like what's been the best feeling as a dad so far? Is there like one moment that sticks out in your head or one thing that they do that really makes you feel like, ugh?
When we walk in the door and they say, Dada, Papa, or when we go into the room when we wake up, Dada, Papa, and they run to you or just the, and they give you, so the boys can hug now, you know, like they'll, and they'll, they give us kisses, mm-hmm. and they're like, you know, just the running, the open arms, that's priceless.
Best, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so, it's, I think that, yeah, that's it. I think it's any time they express their love to you, mm-hmm. for you, is like, and they're really loving. Like they, you know, they do it to us, they do it to your grandparents, they do it to the babysitters, I think, right? They
well, show look you at, love. So like right I'm now. Like,
they also torture them, but.
Right now, Sander is sitting on Mackenzie's lap with his hands behind his head watching a video and he's cuddling. Like that is an amazing moment. Right now, Silas is sitting on Sean's lap with in an iPad, but while he may have the iPad in front of him.
But you didn't see, but he just looked up. He looked up at me and gave me a kiss.
He's right. Like, so he runs over and he wants to sit in Papa's lap. Like that is a priceless, indescribable moment that is worth every trial, tribulation, anything we've ever done to get. Yeah, the cheers. Go for it. So
bite it loud. Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Do you think there'll ever be a moment that they'll be jealous of each other? Or cause like, so with me, Amari's 9 and Layla's 3. And I spend so much time with Amari because he's got soccer, so I'm driving him there and stuff like that. But he still has moments where he's like, I need mom time.
Mm-hmm.
What would your advice be for that?
I think it goes back to what I said before. Like, by you sending him a message during the day, mm-hmm. and then one night, I think that when he doesn't have soccer, I know he has soccer Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, or something like mm-hmm. that. Like, on Monday night, why don't you say, Mom and Dad, like, I'm going to just go, like, take him out to dinner. Or to his, like,
or when you're driving home from soccer, go to Dairy Queen or do something, you know, just something. What does he love to do that you have a moment of 5 minutes to, of, you know, sharing or a just, blizzard in the car?
I'd say, like, go take him. Be like, hey, let's go to the mall tonight. Yeah. Let's go get some food, you know, because I think it's those little teeny things that, and I think that, like, you know how you say, you're like, oh, I'm so tired. I think that it would make you feel good to be like, oh, like, we're actually out of the house. Like, we don't have to spend a lot of money. We spend $20. We go get a little bite to eat, and like we walk around and we hang out, and it's just like. I also think that even though he gets straight A's, I also think it helps children in school, or you know, kids that, you know, some people say they, some people will tell me that their kids have ADD or whatever. I think that it's though, like, because people, I've had people write me and say their kids have ADD or. And they would work out with them. They would come and they say that their ADD in school has gotten better. And I really, and they say they think it's the working out. But I think they're getting attention from their parents. Mm-hmm. Like, not that their parents weren't giving attention, but maybe they needed that, like, connection. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know because we spend equal amount of time with each of them. We treat them exactly the same. You know, and I don't know if they get jealous. They're too young now, but they've never been jealous of each other yet. When one gets time out, the other one's going in there like, brother, are you okay? Like, and I don't stop them. I don't stop them from going to check on their brother. Because I think that's where it becomes like, that person that's in timeout could feel slighted, like the entire family's against me, you know? And I'm like, okay, if Sander's in timeout, I remember Sander was in timeout the first time I put him in timeout, and Silas walked over there, handed him something, probably that he wasn't supposed to have, and then gave him a kiss. He was like, oh, brother, and gave him a kiss. And I'm like, I'm gonna stay away from that, like, because they have to stay connected, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
we all know it took 5 years for you guys to get these babies. If you decided to do it again, would you do it as long as you did for this, like, or keep working at it?
We will find out the answer to that on the next episode of Trust and Believe. So stay tuned. This is the time where a lot of you are starting to think about New Year's resolutions and the things that you can change in your life. I just want you to start to think about how you are going to prepare to make those changes. Think about the things that you've already done to get yourself to the point where you actually want to make a change. Most people think that when they have to make a change, everything that they've done in the past is a really bad thing. Everything that you've done in the past is just the precursor, and whether it's good or bad, it's something that needed to be done in order to get you to the place where you want to be. 2020 is going to be amazing because you are going to make it amazing. So over the next week, my homework for you is just to write down something every single day that you can do to continue to prepare to live your best life even beyond day one of 2020. Go in your past in 2019 and say, what are the things that I loved? What are the things that I didn't love? What did I learn about those things? And what can I do moving forward to make changes? And life needs change. And the changes that you are going to make are from those good and bad choices that you made in the past. So don't be down on yourself. Don't push yourself into a hole and think you got to climb out this crazy hole. Just do the best that you can do and be very present when you do it. And I promise 2020 will be amazing and you will succeed.